several counties in Wisconsin are sending some troubled kids out of the state in order to get them the help that they need to treat and address trauma that they experienced at a young age, along with serious mental health issues.
For the most part, these children are being sent away to states like Indiana and Ohio because Wisconsin doesn't have the facilities to treat them.
Jessie Opoyan joins us now. She's a reporter for the Capital Times, where she covers politics and government. She wrote a piece investigating this trend. Jessie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
How did this issue of kids being sent out of state come to your attention in the first place?
I was actually just talking with some folks who are involved in county government here in Dane County, who the issue had been raised to them through some of the committees that they work on. And it's a relatively new issue for Dane County. And I found out from there that it's actually become more of a statewide thing, too.
Can you talk about the kids who are being sent out of state? What kind of conditions are they facing that have led them here?
Yeah, it's the kids in particular. It's a complex set of factors that have led to this being a thing in the first place. But then the kids themselves, most of them are they've experienced some form of trauma growing up, usually multiple instances of that. So it may be abuse or witnessing abuse over many years. They typically don't have very strong coping skills to deal with that, and usually have sort of impulsive reactionary behavior. They're usually considered to be a danger to themselves or to others. Basically, just really complex needs that there either aren't facilities here in Wisconsin that can deal with them adequately, or those facilities that do exist are full and can't take additional kids on.
Right. With all that, these are not kids who would get an ordinary foster home placement, for example.
Generally, no. And it's sort of, there's a lot of interconnectedness here. So it sort of goes up a chain, right? If the kid has lower level needs, maybe some sort of treatment in the community that even keeps them in the home. And if that's not an option, you'd go up to foster care, then you'd go up to a group home, and then you would go from there to a residential care center. Obviously, kids with more challenging behavior, you'd kind of jump up a couple steps and maybe go straight to those RCCs. But generally speaking, we're not talking about kids that would be able to stay in their homes or go to a foster home.
What's the age range we're talking about?
It's all ages, but the five, now six actually in Dane County, we're all ages 12 and 13. I think that's fairly typical, but it does sort of span across the adolescent ages.
And you're right that you focused on Dane County in your piece. This isn't just about Dane County.
It's not just Dane County. It's really statewide. In fact, Dane County is sort of in the middle in terms of this, and it can change on any given day or month, you know, what the makeup is of this. But it is, the state last sort of took a picture of this in November of 2016, and at that time there were 29 kids throughout the state who were in other states.
And what states are they in?
They're all over. The ones from Dane County were in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Oklahoma. There are those are pretty popular states for the whole statewide group. But you know, there are kids as far as Tennessee and Arkansas too, from throughout the state.
Now, you talked to, as you mentioned, county officials, people who work in mental health, children's welfare, things like that. Nobody, it seems like, thinks this is the right answer. Nobody wants to be sending these kids facing these serious issues to another state, further away from their communities. Everybody agrees that's not where we want to be.
Yeah, everyone involved here agrees this is not ideal for a number of reasons. One being, it's just harder to treat kids who are not close by. So, you know, you've got things like video conferencing that can help, but the social workers who work with these children need to be in touch with them, need to have face-to-face contact. So at that point, you know, you're having to fly workers to other states. There's a cost involved with that, but more than that, I think people are concerned that the kids just can't be monitored as closely. It's harder for families to go visit, and that's an important part. You want to, that generally you're trying to get kids so you can bring them back to their homes eventually, and if the families can't be part of that ongoing treatment, then it's just more difficult to make that happen.
There's family counseling ideally involved, and that's hard to do if it's in Oklahoma and
exactly.
The families in Wisconsin.
Exactly.
How, and you said this was a complicated story, but how do we end up here? It sounds like this wasn't, in a way, it's not a bad thing that we ended up here. A lot of good things have happened that led to these kids, in a way, falling through the cracks.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, one of the people that I spoke with said it's really the result of doing things right rather than doing things wrong. But it's a lot of different factors. One, fewer children are being arrested. That arrest rate's gone down from, I think, by about 53% from 2005 to 2014, the number of kids just being arrested in the state. Beyond that, there's more of a focus on trying to keep kids in their community and find options to even keep them in their homes before you look at anything related to corrections. In addition to that, there's been some adjustments over the years to the reimbursement rates that some of these facilities can charge. At the time, that was welcomed by the counties and the state. Now they're wondering if maybe that's caused too much downsizing and led to some diminished capacity. You're also seeing one of the negatives, though, that's contributed is people said that they are seeing more challenging behaviors in a smaller sort of subset of kids, just diagnoses that weren't that common 25 years ago, seeing kids with forms of psychosis, you know, bipolar disorder, things that are just more of a challenge to deal with.
And one weird outcome, you mentioned the lower reimbursement rates. It sounds like we've got a situation where that limit applies in-state. So you might have a facility that could take one of these kids, but because they can charge more out of state, there might be a kid coming into the state from out of state and then the kid from Wisconsin having to go somewhere else because that spot is taken.
Yeah, it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. So like you said, the reimbursement rates generally only apply to kids in state. So if you've got X amount of beds and you are reimbursed by, you know, the number of kids that you have filling those beds, you want to fill them and you're going to take a kid from, you know, wherever they can come from. And it'll be easier for you to keep your doors open if you can charge more and take a kid from out of state. And of course, now we've got Wisconsin's kids in other states and other states' kids in Wisconsin sort of creating this hodgepodge situation. But, you know, some people have talked about maybe moving away from that per bed style reimbursement situation just so that maybe some of these facilities could keep some beds open for when those higher needs do arise.
Talking to Jesse O'Poyan from the Capital Times about a group of kids, 20-some kids from Wisconsin being placed for treatment out of state or out of the state elsewhere in the country and efforts to provide resources for them here in Wisconsin. And let's get to that, Jesse. What are people talking about for solutions?
There are a lot of discussions happening right now. There's some discussions within different counties. There's some counties that are partnering, and the state's sort of keeping an eye on all of this. So some of the things that they're talking about is what I just mentioned, adjusting that payment model so that it's easier for some of these facilities that can treat those more challenging behaviors to keep some spaces open for when those do come up. Looking at earlier intervention services, going into schools, trying to catch some of these behaviors before they turn into anything getting close to dangerous or criminal, but providing counseling, working with families at an earlier age, adjusting some of they call them wraparound services, but again, those services that can be provided to kids while they stay in their home, in their community, you know, bringing counselors in to work with parents and set up a system. And also, you know, the thing that I heard, I think, more than anything was there's still, although we're talking about this higher level of residential care centers, there's a need for more foster parents and a need for foster parents who are willing and able to put up with some of these really challenging behaviors and stick with it in the long haul. And, you know, maybe that involves more incentives for recruitment and retention for those parents to make it easier for them. But if you can have a strong foster system, you can focus more energy and resources on the higher up the ladder too.
Is part of the story here that maybe these are kids once upon a time that would have been in the youth corrections system as opposed to mental health systems?
It is. And, you know, one of the things that a theory that I heard initially when I was pursuing this story is maybe some of the issues that we've heard about over the last few years at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, maybe that was contributing to this crunch. And actually, that's the opposite is true. That has played a very small part in it because there's been a shift over the last few years, last couple decades, really toward trying to divert kids away from corrections. And so, yeah, where you would have seen these kids going into an institution like that, there's much more of a preference to try to get them somewhere else.
So these are solutions that might be down the road for the most part. You've mentioned some of this, but let's get into it a little more. What kind of things are we doing now to do the best we can for the kids who are in Illinois, Michigan, Oklahoma, wherever?
Yeah. You know, one of the judges that I interviewed said that whenever she has to place a kid out of state, she makes sure to set up more frequent reviews just to make sure that things were going okay. The counties do send their social workers on visits before they place children in a facility to vet it and make sure it's going to be, you know, the appropriate place to send that child. And then also, you know, they do visit, they have face-to-face contact once a month. They're actually, at least in Dane County, and I don't know about others, they will, in some situations, help families financially to go visit their kids if traveling would be a hardship, to try to assist with that. Looking sort of ahead at the long term, there are a couple of these work groups that are focusing on how do we get these solutions both in the short term and in the long term.
And as we wrap up, what are you looking at next in this story?
Probably next, a couple of things. One, seeing what the recommendations are from some of these work groups. I know the State Department of Children and Families is kind of waiting for some of those to determine if there's anything that needs to be done at the state level. So I'd be watching to see if any legislation is crafted or if there are any sort of budget asks on that regard. And I think, a potential follow-up for me is I spoke with some folks who place children into foster homes last week. And that's sort of an area that I didn't get to explore in this story, but looking at the bigger picture of this system and what else needs to be changed in some of the other parts of it.
We'll leave it there for now. Jesse, thanks as always for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Jesse Apoyan is a reporter for the Capital Times, where she covers politics and government. She joined us to talk about a growing number of troubled children being sent out of state for treatment. You can read her story, by the way. We've got a link on the Central Time Facebook page.